Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
Pastor Brent Norden, we've even played golf together. Can you believe that?
Yeah, he's going to start bragging because he can beat me. Steve, God bless you. Thank you for this invitation today. And we were just trying to get caught up. We love each other and we always enjoy being around each other. My name is Brent Norden. I'm your friend. I'm glad I'm here. I appreciate the senior citizens. Both of my parents are still alive. My mother is 81, and my dad is 80. And that was my son playing the guitar, Andrew, and DeMarcus was playing the keyboard, and DeMarcus and I, we've all worked together for probably close to the last 15 years, and he's on staff at our church full-time, does the music and anything else. And so we kind of got agreement. I'll take care of the outside, you take care of the inside. So he's administrator, does a lot of stuff. And then Andrew, he was off today, so when Steve said, tell DeMarcus come sing, I told DeMarcus, and I didn't know what he would have on. But I don't guess it would have mattered. And then and Andrew and them, they were redoing our stage again. And so he was there to help work today on his day off. I said, come with us. So we did that. But I guess I've joined your crowd. I'm on the young end of the senior crowd. I got my senior coffee the other day at McDonald's for 27 cents. And I have found this out. Teenagers know where stuff cheap is. And seniors know where stuff cheap is. So when you're in the middle, they get you. But we're the senior group here today. And Steve, I want to say thank you for this privilege. This is wonderful. Y'all do this every Wednesday. Oh, man, this is great. Let me take a little survey. Is anybody in here over 70? Steve, you don't look it. Are you serious? Let's keep going then. Is this okay? You ladies ain't going to throw nothing at me, are you? Okay. Is anybody in here over 75? Oh, my Jesus. Should I stop? I think you're proud if you go a little longer. Okay. Anybody in here over 80? Man, this is amazing. We better start giving hand claps now. Anybody in here over 85. Oh, my goodness. We got one. Two. Oh, my Lord. Anybody over 90? 90. Oh, my goodness. Look here. Oh, my Lord. Anybody over 92? 93. 92. Let's give him. Oh, my goodness. What an amazing. Congratulations. My papa was 93 when he passed away, and I loved him so dearly. He was a rock in my life. I have his plaque that they gave him in my office. He was a very faithful man to church and work. He kept the same job for close to 40 years, and he was the usher at his church, and they gave him a plaque when he retired. For 67 years at the same church. And I have that plaque in my office. And he was very faithful. And he taught us that you go to church. He loved a deer hunt. But he would come home every Sunday morning and never spend the weekends at his deer camp. And I watched that. And I miss my papa a lot. But he's been gone for a few years. But he had a good, long, strong life. But I want to live a long time. And I want all of you to live a long time, okay? We're not planning no funerals. I am so supercharged today by what is here. I've learned something this last year and a half. And I learned it very rapidly. They never told me I would have to help take care of my parents. My mother had a little stroke about 2 years ago. And she's walking on a walker. It left one side of her body a little weak, but she's still completely independent. And I never will forget this phone call one day. She called me irate. Said, y'all ain't moving me nowhere. I'm not going in no nursing home. I'm not moving out of my house. This was on a Friday afternoon, kind of late. I said, Mama, I ain't had nothing to do with that. That's you and Sherry and Terry talking. That's my two sisters. I said, I ain't trying to get you to move nowhere, you know. Don't put me in with that, you know. And so, boy, she was mad. Ain't nobody ever going to make me move. I'm standing here till I die. I love my house, you know. I love my furniture, you know, and all this stuff. And, well, Monday morning she called me just giddy and giggling. I said, what's going on, Mama? You doing all right today? She said, well, I said, what are you doing? She said, the movers are here. I said, what? Yes, the movers are here. I said, well, where are you moving? You know, you own your house. It's paid for. They can't evict you. She said, well, I moved. She lived in Searcy, Arkansas, and that's where my sister lived. And she said, I moved in Little Rock to a retirement center. I said, what? Well, it wasn't long. That's on the phone. You need to send everybody up here with trucks and trailers. You know, we're the moving family. We help everybody move. And I don't know if Andrew went. I think Andrew and DeMarcus and Aaron, they've moved everybody in the church. It moves, you know. They're the ones get called. Andrew kind of gets misses a little bit, but DeMarcus and Aaron have moved so many people. And Matthew and this other kid, his little brother named Nathan. So we took off up there, and she moved to a retirement place. It was very beautiful. And then she moved again to a little suite, but she's still independent. So she was laughing. So she did move. And then my sister, and she was way above her head. She was living higher than she's ever lived in her life. She retired from CPS, working for the state of Arkansas. And she was an adoption specialist. And she was living in this stuff. My sister has done quite well. She had to go back in there. They went in there and painted that house immediately. Bought another little house, what little money she had left, so she could rent this house, and create enough money just for her to live. Okay? And then she calls me every month and says, Brent, you need to send me some money. It's time for me to get my hair and nails done. And I want a better package on my cable. So I take care of my mom in that way. So, but I love my mother, but she has slowed down a little bit. And she used to walk every day a mile or two and stayed in good shape. And she had this little stroke on a vacation and wouldn't go to the doctor. So if I could say to you, just from experience, from somebody kind of learning about plus 80s, go to the doctor. Let them help you. You know, do what you can. But I want to go to the scripture and read some things. And something, since he asked me this, it's been on my heart to talk about. Y'all are the greatest generation still alive. There's so many of your peers and your generations, your age group that's going on. I'm overwhelmed right now with the responsibility that I am feeling the last year. Almost every mentor in my life has gone on to be with Jesus. Every one of them. Every one of them. Maybe one or two. So I've had to move down younger. And I've realized I am in the church world approaching the position of a father and an elder in the gospel. And I'm still working hard, you know. I'm not even close to retirement. I'm going to go a long time. Did y'all hear the story about the news the last day or two? Our Supreme Court Justice Ruth got cancer again. She's beat it three times. She's 87 years old. And they still said, they said she's a beast physically, that she is 87 years old and she does push-ups. Man, that inspired me when I heard this morning. I said, maybe I can get my golf game a little bit better, Steve. So, I want to do better in life. And so, I want to read two scriptures and make some comments on that and encourage you today. It says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I believe these Wednesday senior meetings, you guys are the best kept secret in town. Over 80, over 90, over 70, over 75. I believe the way you've done that, it had to be some good living through the years for God to preserve you like this. I don't even see any scooters or walkers in here. You know, they might be around, but right there. Let me say this. My mother remarried, and we wonder what's going on now. My sister lives in California, and my parents separated probably 40 years ago. My dad was a pastor. They're both good church people. Never missed a church service. We still don't know why they separated. But my sister lives in California, and both of them are there together. And rumor was out she may move back in down there to Louisiana to the family house. So they may get remarried. And so, and they just going to keep each other. But I watched her. That would be something. They taking care of each other. But I watched her husband about 3 months ago. He's a very intelligent man. He came down immediately with Parkinson and dementia. It was sad to see him go down. He traveled. He took vacations up to this last year. He drove everywhere. And he scared you when he drove. He drove so fast. And anybody came by him, he started honking that horn. And he wasn't no bigger than your finger. You know, skinny man. And he'd go to honking that horn and said, "Hank, if they don't run over you, they're going to kill us. They're going to get out and beat us up." You know, he's always honked at everybody. You know, just get out of the way, get out of the way. And he wasn't mad, he just drove. But he came down with Parkinson and dementia, just like that. It was horrible. He went down so fast. I hate that stuff. I hate sickness. I hate to see anybody in y'all's group or my group that gets sick and then have to get all that treatment. But I watched this. He just, boom, man, it just took him so fast. But I was up there visiting with my mom and him right before he passed. And before he had to go in the nursing home and then into the hospice, I was there and they asked me to come back again. And I told mom, I said, I don't want to see him like that, you know. But what I'm saying, I watched him be so stubborn. He wouldn't use a cane or a walker. And he was falling and flipping and flopping. And he was so skinny, you could pick him up like this. And people would have to carry him different places because it's just the quickest way to get there. He wouldn't use the walker or a cane. And I want to say this to you statesmen and states ladies. If you get to where you got to have a little walker, do it with pride. Do it with distinguishment. Because you're still getting around. You're still going. And it's okay. It's okay. Don't be ashamed if you slow down and that keeps your independence. And I watched that, and I watched him be so stubborn. I said, "Hey, come on, man. Get you a walker, you know." Because them legs were sprawling out, looked like a deer fawn, you know. And he'd wait, didn't want nobody watching him walk and go to bed late at night. And I was peeking around the corner, and he was grabbing one chair and, you know, stumbling to the next one, and mama wasn't able to get him up. And just, if you got to do that, you don't be ashamed of that. You do it with grace and dignity, because you're the dignified people around here this nation needs. Okay? Let me read that. So keep dwelling with God. This right here, you tell everybody, this is the best kept secret in town for seniors I knew about. You're in a secret place, and we're talking about the Word of the Lord. And so, when I abide with Him, He's a good God, and He's going to take care of us. If you read all of that, y'all know Psalms 91. You're God's people. Then go to verse 16. This is the verse I love. And I tell it to myself. And sometimes Steve can share this with me and any other ministers in here. Many times when I get called to somebody's hospital bed, this is a scripture that I quote to them and figure out which way we're supposed to pray. It says, verse 16, with long life. I'm around people with long life right now. With long life will I satisfy him, or you say her, and show him my salvation. I want God to satisfy me with long life. Now, my question I pose to you, are you satisfied? If you still got some living to do, some vacations to do, my pastor friend that retired, I got a deal from him. We went to breakfast the other day. He said, "I still got something on my bucket list, Brent." I said, "What is it?" He said, I'm going to jump out of an airplane. I said, are you crazy? Are you crazy? Come on, Ron. Ron Lyles, he pastored Calvary Church down in Burleson, right there by Burleson. He pastored it for 40-something years. Wonderful man. Loves to play golf. I think we may have all played together. Well, guess what? Holly read to him. He said, guess what he did just this Saturday? He jumped out of an airplane and he lived to tell it. I'm not jumping out of a good airplane. Okay? But listen, you can live as long as you want to until you're satisfied. I've got some more Christmases that I want to spend with my mom and dad. And that little boy in me, Bible says childlike faith, that little boy in me, my prayer is that my dad's 80 and my mama's 81, that they get back together. Is it all right to pray that? Because I called mama the other day. I called my sister. I said, how's mom and them doing? Well, your daddy went to... Because they all used to live in Stockton together, California. She said, well, daddy went to eat breakfast with some of his friends, and he'll be back after a while. And mama come around the corner and said, have you seen your daddy? Where has he gone? What is he doing? Who's he with? When's he coming home? Terry looked at her. My sister can be direct. Mama's a sweet lady. She's a little lady. And she was kind of a mama you heard about. She was a praying lady. And every morning, I remember this. I would hear her at the kitchen table and her Bible was well worn. She was a godly lady. And she would be praying. And I've heard her call my name a lot. And just sweet lady. I don't know if I've ever seen her lose her temper, you know. And she was sweet, not here. And then Terry said, well, now you're going to have to ask him. But I doubt if he may not tell you all that stuff. So she looked at him. She looked at her. My sister said, he's probably going to see another woman. 80 years old. But Terry started laughing. Said, I doubt it. And so I called mom up. I said, rumor's out, you've been flirting with daddy. Who told you that? You know. But they've made some agreement that she can come down there and stay in the other bedroom, and because all her family lives around Monroe, so she can just come down there and stay as long as she wants to. So when you get in the 80s, you've got a whole other set of circumstances to deal with, okay? But listen, you're not through yet. Let's don't go down easy, okay? Let's get some more dreams, some more goals, some more things that I'm not quite satisfied. Maybe I didn't get to check this. I'll be honest with you. I always say from the pulpit, I'm going to pastor the church until I'm 80 years old. I don't plan on quitting. So that means I got to exercise. I've lost 30 pounds and I'm walking about every day. I'm trying to get back because I've always loved sports, but I got real busy. So I'm going to try to take better care of myself so I can be like y'all. I want to be like y'all. I want to be like you guys. I bet y'all drink coffee together in the mornings too, don't you? You know, in meeting places. I want to be like Steve, you know, shooting par golf at 70 years old, you know. Just schooling you young guys. And I'm seeing you. You're smiling. Fixing to eat on your own. You know, just getting around. You still got some goals you can meet. Don't give up. You don't have to die, get sick, fall out, crawl around. Get that twinkle back in your eye. But you know, guys, face it, we all still little boys, aren't we? Do y'all feel like that or is it just me? I still feel like I'm a little boy. And so, going back to that boy subject, my little boy prayer. You know how it is when y'all probably have kids that go through bad marriages, and I'm experiencing that, you know, with my family, my kids, and praying they all work out. And because they told me, my friend told me the other day, it's a pastor. He said, let me tell you something, Brent Norton. He said, what will determine how happy you are in your older age is who your kids marry. I said, oh, Jesus, ain't that the truth? You know. And so, y'all are here. We're happy. Let's do something else together. And let me get in y'all senior club, because I'm here whether you want me or not. I turned 61 last week. And so I'm there. I'm a young guy, aren't I? Yeah, I'm still young. I'm still young. So, but I want to say that I love you. I love your age. I may not know you personally, but I love you because I love people. And I'm so glad you gave me the opportunity to come today. I don't know if I'm doing anything to make you want to jump a little bit more, but you're making me want to jump a little bit more. You are beautiful. You look so good. You're here. You're up. You're enjoying life. Get some things in your life that you still want to be satisfied about. Don't quit. Don't back up. Let's do some more push-ups. Let's eat one more meal together. Let's play golf one more time together. Now, I imagine I'm talking to a crowd here. Go on one more cruise. Take one more vacation. Go through the chicken place one more time. Find a Taco Tuesday. Enjoy your life. We're fixing to go into the holiday season. If you've retired in your kitchen, put some more fudge together, ladies. Make some more cakes. Stir that dressing back up one more time. The saddest day of my life, my mama could cook. Because I was a little fat boy growing up. I wore Huskies. And I was embarrassed about that. But my mama could cook, man. The saddest day of my life, she was at my house. I said, "Mama, will you cook this, this, this?" She just kind of paused for quite a long time. She looked at me, Steve, and said, "I don't cook no more." I like to start crying. "No more biscuits, Mama. Go get them out of the can. Walmart makes them already pre-made. Throw them in the deal." I said, "No, Mama, I want some biscuits and tomato gravy, you know, and peanut butter and syrup. That's how we was raised. You know, she cooked us French fries every evening. No wonder I was fat. I'd go home. I had biscuits and syrup in the morning and French fries in the evening just for a snack. Then we ate supper. But I love my Mama. Let's don't be satisfied. Because everybody wants to put a label on us. Too old, too slow, too weak, can't do it no more. I'm not going to let nobody put that on me. I don't have to be up here with holes in my jeans like Andrew. I got one pair one time. I wore them once. They just wasn't comfortable. All them holes in them jeans. I said, "I'm going to try to be young." And got me some jeans, rolled them up, got some high-top tennis shoes. I wore it all one time. I said, "This ain't for me." Because I still wear suits on Sunday. So, but I love y'all. We're not satisfied. We're going to live long life. We're going to go past 100. You can do it. My Aunt Edith that lives with her daughter in Dallas, we celebrated her 100th birthday back in May. She was a wonderful lady. She moved in with my Uncle Buddy and Aunt Edith. She's out living them all. They sent her home on hospice to die. She didn't die. She didn't die. They said she's lost her mind. She can't talk. She don't recognize nobody. Well, me and Daddy went over there to see her right before her birthday party. Walked in. She just raised up. "Well, hey, Brent. Hey, Bobby Ray." Then kind of went back to sleep for a little while. We went to her 100th birthday party. She was sitting in her wheelchair, knew everybody in the room, and we got to singing them old church songs. Wasn't a dry in the building. And she was singing every one of them. So, 70, 75, 80, 61, they're not going to tell us it's time to quit. There's a deal going on that I don't like, and I'm going to quit with this. In the ministerial realm, everybody's asking who your successor is. They're trying to push my guys, my age, they're trying to push us out. They really are. I said, "I ain't got a successor. I'm going to up 80, so I got a long time. You know, I got a long time to live still." I said, I'm still... Y'all ain't nothing but young and broke, you know. You think you're going to take over what I've worked for and just get me where we ain't got a sell fried chicken dinners to make the church payment. You know, finally getting to where we can stand on our own 2 feet. Okay. You're the greatest generation alive. You're the greatest generation alive. Don't let nobody put you down, tell you not relevant or not that. You can still do push-ups. And if they can have 80 and 90 years old on Supreme Court, our church, get back in a leadership spot. Teach Sunday school again. Sing in the choir again. We're not going to give up easy. I love you guys. Thank you for letting me be here. And I'm not satisfied, so I'm going to live a long time. I hope it didn't go too long.
All right. Wow, thank you. I feel encouraged. Start doing push-ups again. That's what I'm going to do. Right after DeMarcus. Anyway, great to have you. Anything we need to announce?